Hey everybody, this is Jerry, and I just want to let you know that in this episode, we have Jared Easley from Star of the Doubts podcast. Jared's somebody that both Brendan and I look up to. He's one of the first podcasts that we listen to, and we got him on the show. And in this episode, you're going to hear Jared share with us his love for Nutella. You're going to hear Brendan and I go fanboy, geek out mode while Jared is with us. But there's also a lot of neat things that you want to stay tuned in for. For example, Jared shares with us his insights on what it takes to get out of the rut. Whatever your rut is in life, how simple it is to begin the journey out of that rut. He also shares with us his insights on what it takes to collaborate towards success. And I just want to challenge you as you listen to this episode, don't just listen to what Jared is saying, but also keep in mind how he's interacting with Brendan and I. Jared mentions what it takes to be a noticer, and Jared is living that out in this very interview. He's being the noticer of both Brendan and I on Beyond the Rut, and I love it. So don't just listen to what Jared has to say, listen to how he's saying it and apply that to your life. Thanks for listening. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Rut podcast. I'm your host, Jerry, and I've got with me Brendan Cunningham. Brendan, say, I'm wearing a t-shirt and it's full of Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid?
Yeah, I was trying. Now, if you're new to Beyond the Rut podcast, this is the weekly podcast about inspiring and equipping you to make your own path and live the life you always dreamed of beyond the rut. And oftentimes we bring in a guest to talk with us, and sometimes we don't, but this is one of those episodes where we do have a guest, and he's a really cool one. In fact, I've been listening to his podcast for years, Star of the Doubts. So that's Jared Easley, and just to tell you a little bit about Jared Easley, he is a genuine entrepreneur. He's been called the Zig Ziglar of the podcasting world, and in the past couple of years, he started a podcast, written a book, and co-founded the podcast movement, which I'm actually bugging Liv to try to let me go this year. Or at least next year, which is the world's largest international podcasting-only conference. Jared is a noticer, motivator, friend, and power content creator, and he has found the way to do all of these things and still keep his family first. Jared, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm great, and my t-shirts have stains because that is the badge of being a parent.
Yeah.
And anybody who's pretending that their clothes aren't stained, it is not in the reality that I live in, and so... I hear Kool-Aid stains, and I up you, man. I got I got all kinds of funky juice and milk stains, and that's how we roll.
Exactly. That's awesome. That's what being a parent's all about.
We actually refer to our living room carpet.
Oh, Jerry, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
You know, what's funny is there have been years and years and years when I've been in moments where I'm meeting people for the first time, and they ask me, what's your name? And I say, Jared. And they'd say, oh, it's good to meet you, Jerry.
Are you serious?
I'm like, why is that? Jared's not that uncommon. And then for a long, long time, I would say Jared, like the Subway guy. But I can't tell that joke.
Yeah.
Never mind. Not like the Subway guy.
Well, I don't tell that one.
It's funny to hear you say that, because I have to go around saying my name's Jerry like Tom and Jerry. Because when I don't, my name changes to Jeremy, Jeffrey. And I kid you not, there, when I was in real estate, there was a lady who, she was a realtor also. She'd call me Steve. Worked on her for 4 transactions. Wow. She called me Steve the whole time. I'm like, seriously? Like, here's my business card.
So, I would just start calling her random names, like Ethel, and Gertrude, and she'd get the hint.
See, Jared, you're smart. I always use like Betty or Ethel when I refer to other women. That way I'm never using one that can be used against me. My wife will say, well, who is that? It's like, no, I don't know anybody named Betty or Ethel. So.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I had to fix my profile. Jerry was asking for, do you have a little bio? Maybe we could share some at the beginning. And I sent him my bio, and I had to take out, I'm a husband. I'm a dad, I'm a boyfriend. Oh, I should probably take out the boyfriend. Yeah.
You got to be one or the other. You can't be both.
I'm joking, of course.
So, Jared, I just mentioned that you're on Star of the Doubts, and you've got a couple of guys on there with you. Kamanzi Constable's been on there as a guest host. Jody Mayberry, we've actually had on the show with us. And part of what built this relationship between us was Nutella.
Which fascinated me when Jerry would tell me the story.
Yes.
But I think where I was going with that was, tell us a little bit more about yourself that I didn't get to cover in the intro.
Well, I have Nutella stains on my shirt too. So I want to make you know let the record reflect that. But yeah, I am a Nutella fan, and that's probably not what the answer you're looking for. But man, I've had so much fun engagement with Jody and you and a few other people, and it just started from a podcast where we got on the topic of Nutella. And then next thing you know, over a year later, there's still jokes on Twitter about Nutella. And I think that's one of the beauties of podcasting is, you know, you just create a fun rapport and something funny with people. And then even, you know, months later, it still comes up and it's just kind of a fun way to interact. So to your point, I host a podcast and much like Beyond the Rut, I definitely encourage people to listen to Beyond the Rut. And then if you run out of episodes because they haven't posted their next one yet, you know, you can check out some of the Starve It Out stuff. But I've been doing it now over 3 years and over 300 episodes. And it's been life changing. And I don't say that in a cheesy emotional way, but what I mean by that is, I was able to get some confidence that I was lacking, I think, before. And because there's a learning curve to podcasting. It's not as simple as just hitting
just a little bit.
Yeah. It does take a little bit of time to become self-aware, to, get more comfortable speaking on a microphone and having dialogue with friends and stuff, not just on a phone, but, you know, okay, now this is being recorded and people are going to listen to this around the world. And they actually do. And you're learning this, Jerry and Brandon. You know, I mean, there will be times when I've received messages from people from Africa or from Singapore or from New Zealand or from, you know, just all these random places. And I just think, wow. just when I think, oh, nobody's really listening, they do listen.
And you're like, why? Why are y'all listening?
Well, you know,
that was my first thought. Why are y'all listening to me?
I mean, I have wondered that. But hopefully what that does is that motivates you to continue to try to come up with something that's fun and entertaining and informative and valuable. And so that's been the effort that's been put forward with the Starve the Doubts podcast. And there have been times when I've thought, well, this is crazy. I should just probably just hang this up. But as soon as I'm starting to feel that way, I'll hear from somebody and it'll encourage me to, hey, no, this is still a good thing. And it's at a bare minimum, it's allowing me to meet new people. It's allowing me to have great guests, kind of like you're doing, Jerry and Brandon, where you're bringing guests on your show. It's the same type of opportunity with Star of the Doubts. And so I've really enjoyed those connections. And those connections have made me smarter. They've built my network. They've given me ideas for businesses that I'm now involved in heavily. And it's just, it's inspired me. I'm trying things that I probably wouldn't normally have had the courage to try. And I think a lot of it is just hearing stories of other people that have navigated through some of the craziness and found themselves on the other end and worked through some stuff and had some exciting things happen because they were bold and willing to try something. So I love podcasting. And yeah, that's a little bit about Starve the Doubts and what we're up to over there.
Awesome. I know we didn't bring you on to talk specifically about podcasting, but you just made me think of a question I wanted to ask you. So this is kind of the curveball question. When you first started, did you like the sound of your own voice?
Well, it's hard for me to go back and listen to some of the initial episodes exactly. because of that. I mean, it's, at the time, I was gung ho, and I probably listened to those episodes, you know, 30 times. Probably not that many, but now that it's been, you know, a few years into it, I go back and listen. I kind of cringe and I think, oh, it's horrible.
It's like, how did I ever get here when I started there?
I just, you know, I was so, you know, not confident and not used to what I was doing. But you know, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was my somewhere. And I don't have any regrets. It was fun.
Awesome. I was thinking about that because when we first started, we had another guy on the show, Sean Albright, and Sean and Brandon, every time they recorded, they just would dog out their own voices. And I yeah. told them, hey, I went through the same thing the first 35 to 40 episodes of Family Time Q&A. You eventually get used to it and you realize that's how the rest of the world hears you. Like we hear our own voices through the sinus cavities in our skulls and through the fluid in our heads. And so we hear it differently. And so Brandon, you know, eventually got used to it. So I think you have.
I think I have because I just assume everybody wants to listen to me. So I have to speak. But I think that for me, what I loved about the title of your podcast was Starve the Doubts and, you know, contributed heavily to us doing this, but also with Beyond the Rut. It's like just that fear that you can come up with a million excuses why not to do this. You know, nobody ever wants to hear you. You sound weird or whatever, but then you touch somebody's life and we have fun with this. So it's worth doing. And everything that we really, I think, are called to do in life is going to take you getting out of that comfort zone and just saying, you know, I'm going to just risk it. The worst thing that can happen to you is really nothing. Nobody pays attention and nothing happens.
Well, let me tell you a story where somebody does pay attention. This is a little off topic, but our friend Jody Mayberry, who you've had as a guest on the show, he recently put out an episode on his podcast, and it was about your voicemail message.
Yes.
When people call you. And I was listening to it, and I was like, you know, I don't have a voicemail message. I just have this generic message that comes with the phone. And I got bold and I thought, I'm going to create a message, but I want it to be funny. I want it to be me and my personality, but I got to come up with something good. And at the time, not being able to be more creative, I imitated my mom. And I basically was like, hey, you've reached Jared's phone. You know, this is my son. You know, leave a message. It's, you know, technology. Sometimes awesome. You miss calls. I basically went on this little cheesy rant about, you know, me missing a call, but wanting to call somebody back, pretending I'm a mom.
That's
and
awesome.
I forgot about it. And then next thing you know is I'm getting voicemails, and some people are laughing, and then some people are like, you should probably change that, Jared. You know,
it's not very professional.
It reflects professional, you know, being professional. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I was trying to, you know, learn from a podcast episode and take action, and then people are saying I'm unprofessional.
Oh,
so, I love that.
Oh well, you know, I'll probably change it after this episode. Now that I'm thinking about it,
I'm thinking I'm going to change mine now after this episode.
Let me know what it is, and I'll call it. We'll swap voicemail messages because it's actually
be awesome.
Kind of funny.
When I heard Jody share his example of his voicemail greeting, I blurted out, he totally ripped off my daughter's, because hers is, I'm either dancing, eating, or sleeping.
And, oh, I remember you telling me.
Jody gets coached by my daughter, I think. So.
There's a good lesson in there, too.
Jody has a great voicemail message.
Yes.
That's a great lesson to just, like you said, take action. Don't just listen to the podcast and think, well, that was some good information. If you don't take action on it, then it's just entertainment at that point.
Well, I was entertained, and I took action, and I've had some people harshly judge me because of that.
That's good.
I tend to be a bit goofier at work, and you know, there's always that person who's very serious. You got to be professional, and I'm thinking, you know, if you got to be that serious all the time, it's not so fun.
Those people attract my attention. If they're more serious than me, then I go after them, and I do everything I can to annoy them with humor, just because they're so serious.
Just to see if you can make them crack.
I appreciate you saying that, Jerry. I had the same mindset. I was like, hey, this is funny. Ha ha, I'm laughing at this.
Yeah.
But not everybody gets my sense of humor. Maybe that's okay, or maybe I need to, you know, be a little more professional. I don't know.
It's like my wife says, maybe not everybody thinks you're funny. I said, well, they should.
Well, I laughed, so. There you go.
You got at least one laugh there, Brandon. And then an awkward one from me. So, there we go.
I've had awkward laughs from Jerry, and it's even more awkward when it's in written text on social media. So
exactly.
Thank you for that, Jerry.
You're welcome.
I'm still not sure how Nutella has not noticed you guys yet. That just cracks me up.
Where's our sponsorship contract? Nutella?
Oh, man, that would be a dream.
That would be
lifetime supply of Nutella.
Do they just pay you in pallets of Nutella?
I can't even eat that one jar I've had for a year. That's amazing.
That reminds me, I still owe Jody Mayberry a jar of Nutella for coming on the show.
Oh, man.
We bribed him.
Well, that's a bargain.
Yeah,
you got him for a bargain, if that's all.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've got him on Twitter. He said he'd be on the show for a jar of Nutella.
Yep.
And I've asked him for his address. It's a... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not going to say no to Nutella.
There
he should definitely appreciate that.
So as if we haven't broken the ice now, but no. I've got this question written. I got to ask you. what's the best concert you've ever attended? No, I'm kidding. No, that's your question.
Well, I'm excited about a concert. Now I don't get to answer the question.
But one thing we do like to ask is, what's something about you that people would not know just by looking at you?
Well, I'm going to answer the concert question anyway.
Go ahead.
The reason we're laughing is that's a question for the longest time I'd always launch the podcast with, because it just kind of gets people talking, and it's some people have been like, that's a terrible question to ask. It's so irrelevant. And then some people are like, oh, I love it.
Taylor Swift, Kamanzi Constable.
Win some, lose some. But for me, I was actually looking on Facebook the other day. And when I was growing up, I listened to this particular Christian rap group. And I know that sounds kind of cheesy and funny, but I was really into them growing up. And I just saw a post yesterday that they're having this big announcement, and they've been broken up since like 2001.
Oh,
and I was like, oh my gosh, are they getting back together? Are they putting together an album? Are they doing a tour?
I'm
like signed up for their mailing list now. I'm eagerly going to get on Facebook tomorrow to see what their announcement is. And if they're doing a reunion concert, you better believe I'm going to go see DC Talk.
Awesome.
That's who I want to see. Yeah. And so, yeah, that would probably be one of my better concerts I've ever been to.
Awesome.
A total tangent. Thank you for indulging me.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for letting me use that question.
Yeah. One thing that people might not know about me is that I was in the Navy, and I was actually on a submarine.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, I would drive a submarine underwater.
awesome.
And, yeah, I mean, it sounds a lot cooler than it was.
But yeah.
Anyway, I didn't stay in the Navy for a reason, and I think the acronym for Navy is Never Again Volunteer Yourself, and that's probably one of the biggest takeaways I had from being enlisted in the Navy, but that's probably something most people wouldn't know about me.
But you get to drive a multi-million dollar piece of equipment underwater without being able to see where you're going. That's pretty impressive.
Yes. True to all of that.
I was in the Coast Guard, and I say the same thing. Yeah, it was not the best cruise I'd ever been on. When somebody asked me if I want to go on a cruise, and it's like, I've been on a cruise. The service wasn't that good. The food wasn't that good. But
Well, that's not the cruise they were referring to.
Yeah, it paid.
My family and I just went on a family cruise, and it was one of the best times I've ever had.
I always say it paid for college, so that's it served its purpose. I enjoyed it while it lasted, but I was okay when it didn't last much longer.
Oh, man. So you guys have like water boat stories that you could swap. I'm sure landlubber army guy here.
I won't speak for Jared, but among the sailors of the great sailors of the world, I'm not listed anywhere. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not either, which is why most people wouldn't know that about me. And I'm okay with that, actually. What's funny is my father-in-law, my wife's dad, he was also in the Navy, and he was also a submariner. And his experience was completely different from mine, Jerry. He loved it, and loved it so much that now he's in a much older but he's been out for years, but he has the belt buckles and the kind of the funny stuff that people wear. And when I was first dating Rachel, he would always want to talk to me about the Navy, and I would humor him, but I was always like, I don't want to talk about the Navy because I didn't enjoy the experience, and I don't want to sound negative and unappreciative. And now he knows better, and so it doesn't come up anymore. But there forever, it was so funny. Awkward. It was like he had a great experience, and I didn't have that experience.
I wonder if it's something like the further away you get from that time in service, the more proud you get of it. Because I remember when I first got out, I was like, oh, man, I'm glad I'm out of that abusive relationship. And, 12, 13 years later, I'm like, you know what? I was a soldier in the United States Army. And I mean, I don't go walking around with the hats or the belt buckles or have the sticker on my car or anything. Yeah.
Well, just yesterday, I live in the Fort Lauderdale area, so it's not too uncommon to have Navy people come through here. And I saw some people in there dress whites, and they were walking out on Los Olas Boulevard there. It's kind of a popular area in Fort Lauderdale. And I remember there for a moment, I kind of had that walk down Amnesia Lane, thinking back to that time. And I remember thinking if I was on the same side of the street as them, which I wasn't, they were on the other side. But if I was walking by them, I would have stopped and thanked them. And because I remember what it was like. And for them to be, in the service now, I know that's not easy, and I appreciate what they do. Absolutely. So I would say I do have a greater appreciation for people that are serving in the military. And on days like Veterans Day and stuff, when you post that picture of you in your uniform on Facebook or whatever, people just love that. And it is kind of cool to think, hey, I'm thankful that I did it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm just thankful to have been a part of it. That makes it really cool. One of the things that we try to focus on with our podcast is just getting people to that point where they're tired of just existing. And so
that point, because they're probably already at that point.
Past that. Yeah, they're there, but we want to push them past it. So my question for you really is what made you decide you were just kind of done doing the same old, and you were going to break out and jump into this podcasting world and for, in some respects, create the podcasting world?
Well, for me, I was in a bad cycle of negativity, and I was in a position at a company that I wasn't pleased with, and I was working with some people that were very difficult to get along with, and I found myself just letting negativity take over, and I'd come home, and I would complain, and when I was on the phone with friends, I'd complain, and it just consumed me, and I remember my wife and I went on a trip for our one-year anniversary, and you know, we're supposed to be on this trip enjoying our time together and just celebrating the 1 year. And yet all I can talk about is, oh, let me tell you about this and this happened and so-and-so did this. And she finally just stops me and like, I don't want to hear it anymore. She's like, either quit or get another job, but just, I don't want to hear about it. Don't talk about it to me anymore. And that was a big wake up call. Like, whoa, you know, like I need to, really reevaluate what's going on, and that led to me, you know, taking a deeper dive into some personal development, listening to some podcasts, which encouraged me to take a deeper plunge, and that ultimately led to me starting the podcast and things like that. But I won't get into every detail of that. But I'm thankful that I went through that because it allowed me to really get focused. Where I was, I mean, I could have reacted in a negative way and just been like, ah, forget these people, I'm going to move on. But I didn't react that way. I actually decided, hey, I'm going to give this another shot. I'm going to try to be grateful. I'm going to try to be a good steward of this opportunity and treat people with respect and just really be more focused. And in doing so, it has created a number of amazing things. After about 2 years of doing that, I was the top biller in the entire organization, which I thought was impossible before I did it. You know, it just a wave of momentum. And then ultimately I ended up leaving that organization and going to work for another company. But what happened is that company didn't make enough money and they let loose a bunch of employees right before Christmas. Wow. This was a few years ago. And I remember feeling devastated thinking, oh man, you know, I've made a bad decision here. I left this great company I was doing really well with to go to this other place. And then, you know, over a year I get let go. But what happened was this other company that I used to work for came back to me and said, hey, we'd like to have you back. And I said, well, I'd be interested in coming back. Sorry, I got a little phone there.
Oh, that was you.
we both looked at each other and said, what?
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm pointing at Brandon like, how could you, Brandon?
Yeah, editor, clean that up. So, the point of that is the diligence and the just being a good steward led to me a few years later getting a call from them saying, hey, we'd like to have you back. And I told them, well, I now have a business. I have a few things that I'm doing. So to come back full time, I'm just not in a position to do that. And they eventually worked out an agreement with me where I could come back as a contractor.
Okay.
And so now I get to come back and I get to do some projects with that organization. And I get paid, I consider reasonably well to do that. And, you know, I think a lot of these opportunities that I now enjoy, I would have never, ever been able to have them if I had not weathered through that storm when I was in that rut. That's and great. Been able to really just focus and do the right thing, be a good steward of the opportunity. And it didn't pay off right away, but over time, it paid off in the sense of me being the top biller for the organization. And then a few years later now, getting the chance to come back and work with them as a contractor and having complete flexibility with how I do that. I want to say one other thing about this rut question.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that might be a little – it's going to sound a little bit contrarian or counterintuitive. But I was just talking to my sister this morning and this came up. It's possible somebody's going to listen to this and they're in a tough position. Maybe they feel stuck. Maybe they feel like they're in that rut. And the last thing – they can think of is, oh, now I have to go do more. And for someone who's feeling that way, I completely get that. I've been in moments where I've been exhausted, I've been tired, I've been burned out. And the idea of now I got to go take more action, I just can't even think that way. And for someone especially who has kids and family responsibilities and work and home and all these things, they're probably nodding their head saying, I get that. And what I would encourage someone who's in that moment, who's in that type of rut, is sometimes the biggest action you can take is not going and doing something that massive and this big thing, but maybe it's just right in front of you. Maybe it's just being a good steward of being a parent.
Maybe it's a good steward of your job, you know, showing up on time, doing exactly what you need to do, taking it a little step further, or doing your absolute best within, you know, the strength that you have. Maybe it's just showing more kindness and love to your spouse. It doesn't have to be, I went out and wrote this book, or I went out and climbed Mount Everest, or whatever it is. Maybe it's as simple as just be a good steward of what's right in front of you right now, and don't worry about anything beyond that. And that is moving beyond the rut. That's taking action. Even if it's not glamorous or sexy, it might not be the cool podcast answer, but I think for some people, that's the encouragement that you need. Is you don't need to do anything other than just be a good steward of where you are in the moment. And I love that phrase, bloom where planted. Right. You know, sometimes we're in scenarios seem crazy and you're like, oh, I'm stuck and this is terrible. If you can just try to say, I'm going to be a good, responsible person in this moment and do my absolute best, that is taking action that will lead you to greater things. Great opportunities open up when you're a good steward of smaller opportunities. So that's my encouragement, is maybe you don't have to go do and overwhelm yourself with all this stuff. Just focus with what's right in front of you right now.
Okay, Jared, we'll hire you. You're hired. Okay, come on.
Are you replacing me now? What's going on here?
Yep, you're gone, Jerry. See you.
People will still call me Jerry, even if I did replace you.
Exactly. We won't even have to change anything.
I'm going to go around calling myself Jared just so people get my name right. So there we go. Well,
what's great about what you said, though, and we've done a podcast about just doing your best with what you have, you know, and instead of, you don't have to do a bunch of stuff, just be a good steward is a great way to put it, is just use what you have. You don't need a publisher or, you know, start a huge business with 50 stores or something. Just use what's in front of you. And it's amazing what attitude and just you being a good steward can do in your life. Just turn it around completely. And another aspect of that we also did a podcast on was having the support of your spouse, be it a wife or a husband. Because a lot of times, and I know this is true of us, you say you're going to do something, but then you don't follow through. You're not taking care of the little things, so they stop believing in you doing big things. So when you do the little things well, the big things will come automatically. You don't have to worry about the big things.
I totally agree with that, and I find that is so true time and time again. I had a friend actually asked me last night, hey, what are you up to right now? And I've said, well, I've actually scaled back on a few things. And they're like, kind of, what? You know, it's just this idea that we have to go for something bigger, and, you know, right, we have to create this success, and that success, you know, appears as dollar signs in our bank account or all these things. And I think, man, what about the person that's tired and they're just struggling to get through the day?
That's true.
You know, that's what I say is love your kids, love your spouse, you know, show up on time. Do what you got to do, and that is beyond the rut. That's moving. That's making progress.
That's awesome.
That's being responsible.
It's just changing your path even one degree. You just keep following that new direction. Absolutely. You will go over that bank and come out of that rut. I'm getting all visual here now.
There you go. We may have to make a movie now.
Story. Bruce.
Yeah.
Wait, Bruce Lee?
Who would star as you, Brandon, if there was a movie for Beyond the Rut?
Oh, wow.
There we go. Throw his question right back at him.
I'm thinking it would probably be like a Jim Carrey or something. That would be my hope.
Jim Carrey. I was thinking.
I didn't see that coming.
What's the guy that's on, what's the guy that's on Tron? You know what I'm talking about?
Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
Yes. Jeff Bridges. Hey,
yes.
I'll take Jeff that Bridges one too.
I could see that. Yeah.
I'll take
what about
Jeff
you?
Bridges.
What about you, Jerry?
You know what? Sadly, I'm thinking Danny DeVito.
I think Jerry's full of confidence. What do you think?
Well, I mean, he's well spoken.
I would have went with Clooney.
He's handsome,
or something.
He's smart. I mean, I've actually heard he's got a great personality outside of the set. A friend of mine worked at a golf course where Danny DeVito was playing with his grandkids and a big tipper, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, yeah, Danny DeVito, just personality wise, I think
he's a great example of somebody that's used what he had. You know, he wasn't George Clooney. He's not 7 feet tall. He used what he had and he made a great career out of it.
I think he would have been an awesome action star, you know, but there you go. He took a different path, I guess.
Well, not everybody wants to start, obviously, a podcast, but if you did, and that's kind of where you're heading, one of the ways that you can do it is listen to other podcasts. But if your goal is just to start a business and you want to grow your audience, we obviously brought you on because we just think you're great and we enjoy hanging out with you. But you've also written a book that we've read, and the book's really good. So you want to talk a little bit about podcasting good to great, how to grow your audience through collaboration, or just write a book with a really long title?
I do. I want to make sure that the answer to this is really long. So, no,
take that.
The point of that book was people are, regardless of it's whatever you're working on, you want to try to get the most visibility as possible and hopefully resonate with your target people. So that said, how do you do that? How do you create this greater network? And I did a presentation on this for podcasters, and the feedback was so encouraging that it compelled me to say, okay, I'm going to go and repurpose this somehow from a presentation into something else, but I don't know what that is. And, you know, I at that point, I was afraid to write a book, Jerry and Brandon, because I had never done it. And I thought, well, that's why I podcast. I'm not a writer. And, you know, I had all these excuses on why I shouldn't do that. And then I saw someone else who I knew. He put out a book on Amazon, self-published. And, you know, he maybe didn't sell tons of books, but he sold enough that in his particular category, he hit the number one spot. And I remember just being super excited for him. But then I thought, well, if he can do that, I know I can do that.
Exactly.
And so that was the you know, that's what compelled me to say, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm just going to write this thing. So I took a presentation that had reasonable feedback and then repurposed it into a book. Had not huge expectations, but I just shared, you know, mainly what was in that and put it out self-published, and it did. It became a number one bestseller in Amazon for that category. And I think to this date, I still get people that buy that book in Amazon that find me, that don't listen to the podcast, that don't know about anything else that I do. Oh, they wow. don't know me at all, but they find that book and they read it, and then it's a new connection. It's wow. like a discovery tool. So whether or not I made, you know, lots of money off the book is irrelevant. But what's happened for sure is I've made just awesome, awesome friends and connections of people that read the book and then reached out to me after or while reading it. And so, to answer your question, I think the mindset going into creating a greater network is one of trying to notice people first. And I right. kind of go into that in the book, and I believe you remember that. I encourage people to be the noticer, because a lot of people at their core, they want to be appreciated, they want to be noticed. And when you are someone that notices others and appreciates others, what that will typically do is that will create a rapport with that person. For people that I know that are noticing me, or that, you know, have paid attention to something that I've been doing, I think, hey, that Jerry, that Brandon, those are good guys, man. I really like them. That's usually the first thing that pops in my head when I'm experiencing that kind of connection with a person. Mm-hmm. And so I say, be the noticer, make sure it's authentic. And when you're noticing other people, and what will happen is there will be a rapport that's created, where in most cases that person will appreciate you. And then over time, as you do that, I found that that the rapport will yield reciprocity. And it may come time for Brandon to put out a book, or Brandon's working on some kind of new business, or he's got some new idea that he wants to share with people online or whatever it is. And I'm immediately more interested in what Brandon's doing, or what he's sharing, or what right. he's releasing, because of the kindness that he constantly showed to me. So that when Brandon's saying, hey, I've got this book, or I've got this thing, I'm saying, hey, I want to check that out, because I like Brandon. Brandon's yeah. a good guy. And because I like Brandon, I want to support him, you know? And that's not going to always be true, but for the most part, that's a reasonable way to handle yourself, is right. always try to be someone who notices others in a genuine manner. That will, in most cases, create rapport, which will over time yield reciprocity. Is not a quick fix for the person that says, I want Twitter, I want a new Twitter profile tomorrow, and then within 2 weeks I need 10,000 followers. This is not the way to do that. Right. But it is a powerful way to build your connections. And when you have a lot of good, strong authentic connections that will help you with whatever idea that you're wanting to share.
I think relationships is what it's all about. And when reading through there, what you were talking about, you know, you can buy 10,000 followers or however those things work on Twitter, but building authentic relationships is completely different than just building a bunch of people. You know, you can get a lot of people to pay attention to you, but do you have a relationship with those people in some way? One of the things you mentioned in the book was your reach up strategy and reach down strategy. Like is that basically what this is?
Reaching up and reaching down. Okay, so when you say this, what do you mean by that?
The relationships, being authentic with the people and noticing what they're doing. Is that part of the reach up, reach down? Or did I totally misunderstand that?
No. I think it all boils down to the noticing, which creates the rapport, which yields the reciprocity. Absolutely. Reaching up and reaching down, when I think of that, what I think of is there are some people who are higher up the mountain than you are. And so in some cases, it will make sense for you to learn from people who have experience with what you're interested in. And but I also say that with caution. You don't want to necessarily chase people. There can be I've seen this time and time again online where people kind of over celebrate a specific guru or something, and right. That can actually be detrimental to your progress. Rather, you know, you're building their dream rather than, you know, building your own. So I think it's wise to see how other people have done things and learn from people. But I also think it's even better when you can see who's someone further down the mountain and how can I be a source of encouragement to them as they're making their way up. And so when you say reach up, reach down, that's what I think of. I think, you know, you're looking around to see who you can learn from that has a good track record of success, that also has a good reputation, that treats people well. And then you're wanting to, you know, learn those things, apply those things, and then hopefully be gracious and encourage those that are not quite where you are but are heading in that direction. And I think that's a nice way to live and a nice way to treat others.
Absolutely. So would you say it would be wise to maybe write a book about, you know, stop chasing influencers?
Well, we did write a book called Stop Chasing Influencers. And the reason for that was we see people get stuck. They're in that rut.
Right.
And for them, it's they're so focused on maybe trying to learn new material from, you know, the super guru that they're not actually growing their own idea, and everyone has a unique gift and everyone has a purpose to fulfill. And my encouragement is not beating up the people who are famous or, you know, who've done well for themselves and who are high up the mountain. I think it's more about you have a journey that you have an opportunity to go out and fulfill your purpose and bless people and do something that creates value, and don't get stuck being so focused on other people that you're not doing what you should be doing. And so I've seen that happen time and time again. So that book, Stop Chasing Influencers, was a kind of a cool title, but really it's about how can you continue to grow what you're feeling compelled to grow.
I love that, because it's easy to say, well, I want to be Jared, or I want to be, you know, whatever the person, you know, Beyonce or whoever it is you look to. And it's like, we don't need another one of those. We need you. We need your unique voice, because God created you for that. So we need that.
Well said. Yeah. And yeah, I'm guilty of it too. Oh, I need to look like this person. I need you know, make money like this person. I need to have success like this person. No, you know, maybe I just need to be kind to my friends and love my wife and love my kids and be responsible. You know, yeah, maybe that's what I need to do. And that's an encouragement to someone else who's saying, hey, I'm struggling with that, but I, you know, appreciate the way that Jerry does it. And, yeah, you know, I want to be like Jerry. So,
shucks. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we all want to be like Jerry, and we should.
Yes.
It's like Nike or Gatorade. Well. Be like Mike. Be like Jerry.
Be like Jerry.
Be like Jerry.
Played by Danny DeVito.
We should sell T-shirts that are like fake stains on them. Like, you know, beyond the touch,
yes. Oh, man. I don't know. Well, we'd at least have 3 people buying them. So, yeah. They'll sell.
Might be able to convince my wife to buy one. You never know.
There's like, what, teespring.com or something where you can like throw up an idea, and if people buy the t-shirts, they'll actually print them. But if they don't, then you're not losing anything. Hey, so maybe that's a safe way to create that t-shirt.
Teespring.com. Come on as a sponsor.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate the fact you've spent so much time with us, but I know that, you know, we probably need to get you back to your daughter because she's waiting on you somewhere. But just thrilled to death you came on and everything you shared. If you're not familiar with Jared and everything that he does, what's a good way to get a hold of you and contact with you and just stay in touch?
Well, the first place is beyondtherut.com. Check out this episode and all that it has to offer and any of the other episodes and all they have to offer. And then once you're done, you know, or you've run out of episodes for the time being, then we have a show called Star of the Doubts, which you're welcome to check out, starofthedoubts.com. And then we do an event called Podcast Movement, which is more for people who are into podcasting, and that's at podcastmovement.com. You're welcome to check that out as well. But regardless, yeah, I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Twitter, and I try to chat with Jerry whenever I can and, you know, join in the fun Nutella tweets that we do. It's a blast for everyone involved.
Hashtag do you even Nutella bro?
Yes. that is the hashtag. And yeah, you'll just have to search that hashtag.
It'll be a link in the show notes, Jared.
As it should.
Awesome. Any final words of advice before we sign off, Jared?
Final words of advice is back to what we were talking about earlier is if you're feeling stuck, you're in a rut, don't worry about taking on more responsibility. Just focus on how you can be responsible with the things that are right in front of you. And that is being brave. That's being courageous. And that's going to help you. Being a good steward and responsible of the things right in front of you will open up new opportunities when you are ready, but not a day too soon. So don't worry about massive action for all these other things. Just focus on what can I do to be responsible for what's right in front of me. That is moving beyond the rut.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Thank you, Jared. And thank you for listening to episode 39 of Beyond the Rut podcast. You can find the show notes at beyondtherut.com/039. Best way you can support our show right now is to share us with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and even that guy across the street that you've always wanted to say hi to, but you're just too nervous. Go over there and say, hey, there's this cool podcast. It's called Beyond the Rut. You should check it out. And then he'll think you're awkward and weird. Just go with it.
One way.
I haven't done that with my show, so I'm going to do that.
I'm going across the street.
I can't even finish the outro.
Shout out to my neighbor. She does listen. She's okay. Across the street.
Awesome. Also, with that said, go to iTunes, leave us a review, a rating, and subscribe to us if you haven't yet. And if there's anything you wish we had asked Jared or anything you want us to tackle in a future episode, give us a call at 361-596-3788, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow, that's awesome, Jared. Thanks for joining us.
I'd be interested in coming back. Sorry, I got a little phone there.
Oh, that was you.
We both looked at each other and said, what?
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm pointing at Brandon like, how could you, Brandon?
Yeah, editor, clean that up. So, but...